at 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel's cabinet is meeting right now to vote on the hostage ceasefire agreement signed by Israel and Hamas this week. Some officials are threatening to resign if it's approved. The BBC's John Donison is in Jerusalem.
They want to get on record that they think this is a bad deal. They think the war aims in Gaza have not been achieved. They say Hamas has not been eliminated. They're very unhappy about the possibility of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, many of them convicted murderers, being released.
If approved, the first hostage release could begin Sunday. Just in from Washington, President Biden is commuting the sentences of almost 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. That adds up to a presidential record for most individual pardons and commutations. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem takes her turn before senators on Capitol Hill today in her bid to become the next Homeland Security Secretary. Our Homeland Security contributor, Sam Vinograd's expectation for the confirmation hearing.
I think it could get very contentious when it comes to the actual policies for keeping families in detention, keeping children in detention. So I think that'll be a very big flashpoint today.
Rudy Giuliani will still have a roof over his head, and he gets to hang on to those prized Yankees World Series rings. He's reached a settlement with two Georgia poll workers he's accusing of stealing the 2020 election. WSB Radio's Bill Caiaccio from Atlanta.
The former New York City mayor and ex-Trump attorney will keep his apartment and property, but he also agrees not to make any more defamatory comments about Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. Giuliani's son, Andrew, continues to stand by his father.
I just want to say, as a son, as an American, I'm so proud of my father to see what he's been put through over the last 4 years.
Giuliani'd been ordered to pay the women $148 million. A new threat from the California wildfires, landslides from all the water used to fight the flames. One hillside home was split in half. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Pacific Palisades, where firefighters have gotten a break from calmer winds.
For them right now, the priority is to keep expanding the containment line, but also try to get these residents back. There were some neighborhoods that they lifted on Thursday, and some of those residents were able to go back, but they're going back to homes that have no power and no water.
Apple suspended a new feature.
Apple Intelligence is going to transform so much of what you do with iPhone.
It's paused its AI-generated news alerts because of complaints about repeated mistakes in news summaries. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
The Packers fire a coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Although the Packers' defense improved the past year, there's been criticism they didn't put enough pressure on quarterbacks. Defensive line coach Jason Rebovich fired after 3 years in Green Bay. Meanwhile, defensive back Jaire Alexander has missed nearly half the games the past two seasons due to injury. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, will Jaire be back?
You know, we're at the beginning stages of just kind of gathering information as a whole, you know, before we started looking at next year and how we're going to lay this thing out.
And Bob Uecker has died after a two-year battle with lung cancer. Uecker would have been 91 next Saturday.
You know, he beat pancreatic cancer, which nobody beats. But he had another cancer now, and he did the job right to the end, which is extraordinary. And I kept trying to tell him to slow down, Kirk. There were days he would go have radiation treatment and then come to the ballpark and broadcast a game. It's unbelievable.
That's Brewers owner Mark Antanasio with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stand-up comic Bill Burr shared opinions on the catastrophic L.A. fires during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, like only Bill Burr can. After saying he was tired of people on the internet sitting at home in their underwear suddenly becoming fire experts, Burr attacked insurance companies, saying they will keep the people's premiums and give themselves bonuses, insinuating that they are the actual looters. John Cena's likability is off the charts. with John Cena fans. The sometime actor, sometime wrestler will host a new talk series. Variety reports that Cena will host a 4-episode talker called What Drives You and will interview guests like Logan Paul, Jelly Roll, and Travis Barker and their favorite cars. This is a really original idea that was even more original when Jerry Seinfeld came up with it. What Drives You will air January 21st on the Roku channel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Windy and warmer today, mostly cloudy with some flurries or freezing drizzle later this morning into this afternoon. Our high near 35 today. Getting colder tonight, 5 above the low tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 10. We drop to 12 below by Sunday morning with a high of only 5 below on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 17th, and it's another beautiful day to welcome you to Radio Park in Racine along the shores of Lake Michigan, and we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, on social media, by podcast. Glad you're starting your day here, which is not as up north as I normally am, but it's still up north. Up North News covers all of Wisconsin, and all of Wisconsin is America's up north. So as far as America is concerned, damn right we're still up north here in Radio Park in Racine, where one Greg Bach works on a regular basis. And I get to, he's right here. He's right. Yeah, you got to play Hollywood Squares with the video thing. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Pat.
Nice.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
there hey, we Pat. Go.
Wow.
How you doing?
We can play,
hi, hello.
Patty cake. We're having fun with separate cameras.
Yeah, totally. How you do? Welcome to Radio Park and lovely residential. It's even like level downtown Racine. It's a residential area.
It's in a residential
it's
area.
Sleepy. It's quiet. We don't want to wake the neighbors.
I know. It's adorable.
Yeah.
It's just like this one block of green space. With a you know, radio tower in a building, and that's Radio Park. I'm like, there's no rides here. There's no swing set, nothing. But the park is just the green space, and the kids don't play in Radio Park because of the radiation concerns. But otherwise, it's a beautiful place. It's a historic building that I know a lot of work has already been done since Civic Media took over to freshen up the place, and I can't wait to see the rest of the building. I've been struggling just with whenever you're at a new place. First, you got to find out where the microphone is, what the buttons and the switches do, and then let's not underestimate the biggest adjustment you have to make when you have to show up on short notice at a new workplace: the chair.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh yeah.
Going up or down? Do I sit at the edge? Do I sit back? How does this work?
Yeah.
A chair. We'll figure it out by the end of all this. So it's nice to be here in a different location. And in driving through the Milwaukee area last night. Obviously, we know what everybody was talking about and thinking about. That was the passing of Bob Uecker yesterday at the age of 90. And was that during Matt and Air on air or just before?
It was, I think it was at most 5 minutes before we went on air.
Oh, my goodness.
It was 5 minutes and we started calling, like, who can be, let's talk about Bob Uecker. And it was news broke and then it was time to do the show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And Mike Clemens from Civic Media Sports will join us at 7:50 this morning. Boy, has he had a busy 24 hours gathering all kinds of memories about Uecker.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we'll have some audio that Mike has put together for us, clips from folks remembering Uecker, and we'll share some of the memorials and remembrances and hear a little bit of Mr. Baseball as well. Now, I'll say as somebody who grew up in the Twin Cities and who then, you know, my dad lived in Eau Claire for pretty much all of my life. So I've always been, you know, at least part Wisconsinite. I've been here permanently since I met this cute farmer's daughter many, many years ago in college. So but my first exposure to Bob Uecker was as a kid in the Twin Cities watching Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And I mean, the guy was just, for a kid watching late night TV, loved the deadpan delivery, was just so awesome as he would talk up his baseball skills, mm-hmm. or lack thereof,
yeah.
and have Johnny in stitches. And then you'd see him in the other things like, you know, Mr. Belvedere and the Miller Lite commercials and then the Major League movies. And there was just so much to him. And then you'd turn on a Brewers game and was like, oh, there's Uke. You know, just yeah. calling the thing. Never got, you know, too big for his britches that way. He always knew to, you know, your main job is to come home and call your hometown team.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, we were talking about that yesterday with our sports guy, J.R. Radcliffe from the Journal Sentinel. And, you know, I grew up in a perfect time for Uecker, which was like the 80s and 90s. So there was all of those things. And there was the Johnsonville Brat ads, too, which yes. were very local. So everyone had their, like, their national idea of Bob Uecker, which was star, essentially, because he was in movies and TV commercials. And, I think it was over 100 appearances on the Tonight Show.
Yes.
But for us, he was Uke.
Yeah.
He was the guy behind the microphone at County Stadium, and it wasn't unheard of to run into him and see him. So mm-hmm. you got to find both ends of the spectrum when it came to Bob Uecker.
You know, he was the big star, and yeah. he was just the kid from Milwaukee, done good.
Yep, absolutely,
and good for him, because years and years from now, I mean, seriously, younger folks would be like, wait, you got to hear Bob Uecker? Because they'll just know him as somebody in baseball history.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, let me tell you all about the games and mm-hmm. the commercials and the movies and everything else. So we'll talk a bit more about Uecker as the morning goes on. Also coming up this morning, we're going to catch up with Courier Newsroom's Kiev Akil, a regular fixture here on Friday mornings, but not last weekend, because he was evacuating his place in Los Angeles because of all the wildfires that were spreading throughout. And there was a one that had popped up and caused him to pack up and get the heck out of Dodge. He'll join us along with a Courier Newsroom, a colleague of mine from Arizona, Cam Stevenson of the Copper Courier. And we'll talk a bit about some of the news of the week with Kia and Cam. Some of it, you know, starts in Arizona, but involves stories that you would want to follow here in Wisconsin as well. And you'll understand about the similarities of our conversation from yesterday. Happening tomorrow all across the country, and including at least a half dozen Wisconsin communities, will be something called the People's March. It's basically a national show of defiance against those who are hoping that Donald Trump's inauguration on Monday will usher in an era that rolls back rights for workers and rights for women and rights for immigrants and rights for the LGBTQ community and rights for communities of color and voters' rights at stake as well. We'll talk to an organizer of the march in Eau Claire about the symbolism. I mean, they can't change the election results. 77 million people voted the way that they did. But they voted for a wide variety of reasons, and very few of them probably dealt with rolling back rights, rolling back democracy, and things like that. There was a lot of talk about, you know, the price of eggs, which has very little to do with taking over the Panama Canal or buying Greenland or acquiring Greenland or giving up on Ukraine and allowing Vladimir Putin to spark more conflicts in Europe. So it is important that people take a stand tomorrow who want to. And so we'll learn more about that. We'll talk more about the Trump transition as well with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and with journalist Mark Jacob, and including in our visit with Mark, who has the Stop the Presses newsletter, is a reminder that Monday is not only Inauguration Day, but it's also the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And one of the aspects of Martin Luther King that the far right has just completely perverted is the line about judging somebody not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And its meaning has been twisted in such a way that Martin Luther King Jr. would not even recognize it. And so we'll ask Mark to talk a bit more about that. And we'll ask Jim Santel about the fact that Monday afternoon could be pretty big. Monday afternoon could feature a lot of executive orders that may or may not be legal or constitutional. And so we'll talk to Jim a bit about that. Let's see, what else have I got here on Facebook? Of course, Roger, here, I'll read yours first. I can't think of anyone who loved Wisconsin more than Bob Uecker. He has earned his place in the front row. And I can't agree more with that. Tony says, I hate to tell you, but you're in the Earl, Jane, Maggie, Dom chair, and I don't think they like to share.
I'm here to tell you you're fine. Now you're fine. Don't start stuff, Tony. Don't be starting stuff.
Wait. Well, thing is, if it's the Earl, Jane, Maggie, Dom chair, apparently there's a lot of sharing going on already over here, so I'm just going to continue to just wiggle my butt in this thing and make it my own.
His research and science falls apart immediately. Tony, you trouble. You rabble rouser, you rouse rabbles.
Somebody's making trouble here. Yep, you can call us or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use that Civic Media app as well to either phone or text us. And of course, like Tony and many others, you can go to Facebook or YouTube, put something in the comments section, and we'd love to hear from you there. Temperatures at the bus stop, a lot better than they were 48 hours ago, but a lot better than they're going to be in 48 hours or 72 hours when the kids go back on the bus. It is 32 up in Chippewa Falls right now. It's 31 here in Racine, 34 in Hayward, 35 in Amory. Wausau's at 28, La Crosse 33. It's 30 in Rapids, 29 in Green Bay, 28 in Madison, 27 in Waukesha. Where to start when you are talking about Bob Uecker? I guess you might want to start with the players and with the owner of the team. So, look, Bob Uecker was 90. He would be the first to tell you that it's been a wonderful run. As much as we'd all like it, we'd always like an extra day. Here's Mark Adonasio from the Brewers talking about Uke and his relatively private battle with cancer.
You know, he beat pancreatic cancer, which nobody beats. But he had another cancer now, and he did the job right to the end, which is extraordinary. And I kept trying to tell him to slow down, Kurt. There were days he would go have radiation treatment and then come to the ballpark and broadcast a game. It's unbelievable.
It's very much in the it's giving Alex Trebek, you know, kind of vibes about, look, I'm going to fight this illness and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because it's what I love doing. Let's hear quickly hear from Christian Yelich on how ballplayers knew they could trust Bob Uecker.
And the pitch.
Actually, let's come back to that because I know I'm pushing up against the break here. So what we'll do is we've got a few more clips from players, and trust was something that really came up a lot in their comments. Not just the fun. The fun is it goes without saying, but we live in an era where, especially in the social media age and little camera phones and everything, and you just don't know if you can trust who you're talking to. And Uke was very old school that way. If you're talking to him, you can trust him. He proved that, you know, year after year, frankly, decade after decade. And, you know, he had a lot of talent to go with that trust. He could have gone other places, but as you're going to hear, he knew it, that he had it good here in his hometown with his hometown team. So we'll talk a bit more about that, and we'll hear a little bit from Bob Uecker when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame some 21 years ago. So all that just ahead before we hear from Kiev Akil coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, including here in Racine, when you're here on this show, you're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop Parade!
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm afraid to save the man. Afraid to save the man. I'm drunk to the finish, cause I ain't been finished. I'm afraid to save the man.
Are we now officially in the era where nobody under the age of, what, 40? Maybe 50? Knows who Popeye is anymore?
I think 30 and older. I think 30-year-olds might know Popeye. I mean, he was a cartoon from like so long ago. I would get it.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. From so long ago. He's part of today's history lesson. You know,
the
cartoon character, you know, when he first made his appearance on the scene here. So we'll have that in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit here on Up North News Radio. But yeah, it makes me wonder. It's like, were we it? When it comes to some of these things, like, you know, people. I mean, you can pick anything like Ed Sullivan. Who watched that? You know?
Yeah.
But there are some cartoons that and characters that have staying power, especially if you have, like, you know, the Disney empire mm-hmm. behind you, you know, and others not so much. But Popeye made his first appearance in comic books on this day, and I'll get the year for you in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. A little bit of sports here at 6:22. Just one game last night to tell you about. The Badger women's basketball team lost to Ohio State. The Milwaukee Bucks homestand continues with games tonight against Toronto and Sunday against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Badger men's basketball team plays at USC on Saturday, and if memory serves, that's a game that you can hear across the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, there it is right there, Pat. The Badger men's basketball team at USC. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha. Hey, that's here. And Richland Center, and on the Civic Media app as well. You can also sign up for our newsletter through Up North News. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. Christina Laurie put out a special edition late yesterday, about Bob Uecker and some of the stories about him. And then there's an issue this morning that includes a link to an article written by Mark Jacobs, who you hear from every Friday here. And Mark Jacobs has this article on 10 ways to defend democracy in the age of Trump. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for the newsletter there, and you can also read what Mark does through our parent company, Courier Newsroom, at couriernewsroom.com. Tony Nashland says, I know Popeye. Tony, welcome to the Old Man Club. Nice to have you here.
Hey, we've got opinions on things we'll yell at kids about. Ah, Popeye was the best cartoon.
Here, okay, for what few young people are listening to this radio station at this hour of the morning, his thing was that he was okay. He was a sailor man, toot toot. But he'd get into a pickle now and then, but he'd be too weak to do anything about it until he ate his can of spinach.
Mm-hmm.
It ruined spinach for a lot of kids, myself included, who thought that the only way to eat spinach was this slimy green stuff that comes in a can that Popeye would eat all the time.
Well, not to mention that you'd squeeze the can open.
Yes.
He was so weak, but he could squeeze an aluminum can open.
You're right.
And he had a very, very, like, almost medically abnormal forearms.
Yeah. When they did the live action film with Robin Williams.
Ugh.
And he had the forearms. And that's when it first really hit people, like, no, there's something not right about that. Anyway, so spinach, you know, we always thought that's it's got, like, creamed and everything. The first time, and this was as an adult, that I went to some kind of a salad bar or restaurant and saw fresh spinach,
mm-hmm.
and had it with, like, I think it was actually during my years living in Milwaukee while Sherry was going to the med school here. And it might have been Mater's or some other place with the hot bacon dressing.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is spinach?
Well, there's also another, there's a restaurant in Milwaukee called La Miranda. It's a tapas restaurant. They have a, I don't know. It's not fresh spinach, and it's not like coming from the can, but it's warm and it's got a little bit of sea salt on there, and it's a grilled spinach. It's just, it's so good.
Wow.
Because when I was a kid, the first time I saw spinach, I was like, this is gross.
It is gross.
I'm never eating
stuff
this
in the can. I don't know why anybody would.
Yeah.
And then Tony once said that he is indeed under 40 and poor olive oil. Not the substance, his girlfriend. She had a rough time in that cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, again, a lot to learn about respecting women by watching old-timey cartoons.
Yes.
Let's get back to some memories of Bob Uecker here. So in clip number 9 here from Christian Yelich, he talks about players being able to trust Uecker when they had so many conversations off the field.
Well, I think he was always on the player's side. You know, I think he always had our back no matter what. And he was always pretty passionate about that. I think he would tell you that on a daily basis, whether you're going through a hard time or not, or whatever was going on the field. And he always would have your back over anything. And so I think you knew when, like, you're talking to him, like, you're just talking and you don't have to worry about something getting out that's not supposed to, or, you know, he would never do anything like that. And it was the same for him though too, you know, because he could talk to us about anything and we obviously wouldn't share it if it wasn't supposed to be shared. I think that's part of why he liked being in the clubhouse so much. Was it was essentially a sanctuary for him, where, you know, he's Bob Uecker in life, but, you know, when he's in the clubhouse, he's just Bob and he can be himself. And he knows that those are his friends. It's a place where he can let his guard down and just be him. And I think that's why, you know, you guys kind of heard, like, all the special stories from, you know, guys in the clubhouse from behind the scenes, because, you know, you got the true version of Bob where he could let his guard down and just be him. And you guys can talk about whatever.
And it's important because when you're up and coming and you're changing teammates all the time, going from place to place, and having somebody to express your doubts to, or to ask what you think might be a stupid question or get advice, is just so key. Let me skip down to cut 7 here from Ryan Braun, where he talks about Bob Uecker. He did turn down other offers. He had a chance to leave Milwaukee for good plenty of times, but did not.
You know, he was the voice of Brewers baseball, and for a lot of people, he was just the voice of baseball, period. And the fact that he continued to be that voice in Wisconsin and for the Brewers specifically speaks to how much he cared about the people who loved him.
Bob Uecker, more memories of him will be shared along the way, but let's wrap up here with a typical Bob Uecker home run call. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And the pitch. Get up! Get up! Get out of here, Garrett Mitchell!
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, some big news yesterday for Wisconsin dairy producers. Federal milk marketing orders have been accepted. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and that included the federal milk marketing order announcement by USDA. Dairy farmers, their processors across the United States cast a vote whether to keep federal milk marketing orders or let them go. Well, they're in place. There's a lot of detail that dairy producers and their processors are going to have to work through. That's not the only news influencing dairy these days. Colin Artema is a senior broker with EverAg in Chicago, and he says, keep an eye on what's happening with the cyclical movement of cheese and what new processing is coming on board.
Look at the demand factors that are coming up. You got Super Bowl, you got Easter. Make sure to look at the new capacity, like what's going on around the United States. How's California doing? Those are kind of the main factors right now. Certainly keep an eye on the GDT with what's going on with New Zealand and China. Just keep up to date with the milk markets, because it certainly is going to get interesting these next couple months.
Colin Artema, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, reminding us about a few of the potential ups that dairy could be looking at, aside from the federal milk marketing order reform that's been accepted. Did the markets react? Well, we'll take a look at the numbers next.
What makes Dairyland seed corn different? The right stuff. More options to help you fight corn rootworm pests. A variety of hybrids with an advanced combination of above-ground pest control and herbicide tolerance. And a ton of other options supported by direct access to agronomy experts who will help you get the most out of the ideal seed for your Midwestern acres. The right corn for you and the right people by your side. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedCorn.com.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Alrighty, yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a nickel to 189. 40-pound block cheese up 6¾ to 189. Double A butter, that was down 3¼ cents, 253.5. The February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up 14 cents at 20.06. March up 21 at 19.88 a hundredweight. Just a quick market snapshot on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Windy and warmer today, mostly cloudy with some flurries or freezing drizzle later this morning into this afternoon. Our high near 35 today. Getting colder tonight, 5 above the low tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 10. We drop to 12 below by Sunday morning with a high of only 5 below on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will revisit our conversation with Harvey Kay on Jimmy Carter's legacy and the two very different January 6th anniversaries. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Back on Up North News Radio on this Friday morning, 6:34 the time, and time for our weekly conversation from my colleagues at Courier Newsroom. Of course, as always, from Los Angeles, well, now safely back in Los Angeles, correspondent Kia Vakil, and joining us from Phoenix, the founding editor of the Copper Courier, Cam Stevenson. Cam, Kia, good morning. Thank you guys for being here.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Kia, of course, has the big story. As we folks were listening last Friday know, Kia lives in Los Angeles and was caught up in having to evacuate because of the wildfires there. So, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's hearts are with you and everybody else in L.A. Your own story is that you sensed you were almost being threatened by a separate fire, right? And that's where it's like, let's get while we can.
Yeah. So obviously there's the two major fires, the Palisades blaze and the Eaton fire, which are, I'm in West Hollywood. Those are each about 10, 12 miles away from me. And those were started last Tuesday and were raging. And I had a sleepless night making sure nothing started by us Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on Wednesday night, where we live, we could see a fire out the window. There was a new fire in the hills right behind our home. We were prepared for that. We grabbed our cats and our bags and went, because, you know, the way things were going with the other fires, it was pretty scary, and neither myself nor my girlfriend wanted to stick around and just wait to see what would happen with it. We left, and it was pretty harrowing. It was like the most apocalyptic vibe that I've ever experienced in my life. Navigating that, driving down to the San Diego area to stay at my uncle's for a couple nights was extremely stressful. And yet I feel extremely fortunate. My apartment is still standing. The fire by us was put out, overnight. And, we are very, very lucky to basically return to, our life and, still have it and not have lost our home, not have lost our property.
Right. And not to make light of the situation, but when you mentioned something that made me think of us Midwesterners, how you guys said there's this fire, let's not wait and see what happens. Yeah. Whereas when we hear a tornado warning, everybody kind of looks out their front door, if it's not like right on top of them, going, well, let's just wait and see what happens. See if it comes this way. Do not recommend. Not a good safety tip, but it's what we do here. And Cam, in Arizona, I mean, you guys are no strangers to dry conditions, windy conditions, fire threats. So I'm sure what Kia was going through, resonated with you and your neighbors.
Yeah. No, we get some pretty serious wildfires in the summers. There's some fires going on down in southern Arizona right now. The main difference is ours. It's usually, for the most part, contained to the wilderness. Even though Arizona's desert, we also have lots of forests, lots of very dry forests. And so our firefighters and special units, they do controlled burns out there. But we do occasionally have some pretty serious situations where smaller rural towns get engulfed in flames and people have to do exactly what Kia had to do. Very much a wait and see situation, though, but I think a lot of it has to do with hoping that that's not going to be reality.
Yeah. Just an awful situation. And we hope things get better there in Los Angeles really soon. And Kia, you often provide some news and commentary each week. And I would imagine you have a little commentary for the folks like Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and others who were playing politics with the tragedy out there and saying things like, well, let's not send federal aid unless we attach some kind of strings on how they can use the money. I can only imagine what typical Californians, including a whole lot of Republicans out there, would think about that.
Yeah. The things I want to say, I probably can't say on this
probably
show.
Probably not. Yeah.
But it is so infuriating to, see tens of thousands of people lose their homes, their businesses, their communities, and then to go online and see people thousands of miles away spout total BS. And, politics is always part of these things, but like the extent to which Republicans like Ron Johnson, Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, his little apartheid loving billionaire friend, Elon Musk, are playing politics with this and trying to screw over people because they happen to live in California is really, really enraging. We didn't do this with Hurricane Harvey in Texas. We didn't do this with Hurricane Helene in North Carolina or Milton in Florida. We shouldn't do this with any tragedy, no matter where it occurs. Like, natural disasters are natural disasters. I have a lot of critiques of California leadership, Los Angeles leadership, and those people are not immune from scrutiny. But, you know, there's a time to do an analysis. And while people's homes are being consumed, trying to exact your little political grudge is not appropriate. And in reality, the people of LA are coming together. I volunteered and donated stuff over the weekend. I have never seen anything like the outpouring of support and, you know, communal coming together here in the 12 years I've been here, like I've seen in the past week. And that's reality. These petty, sad little politicians and their, you know, influencer friends who are trying to score points. Those people are sad people. And, you know, I have less than no respect for them. And I'll leave it at that because I, you know, anything else, I'll just.
I think it's safer that way. I think it's safer that way. We'll go ahead and pivot to the news again and hope things just continue to improve out by you. Cam, let's start with you covering some of the headlines in Arizona. Like Wisconsin, new legislature in session. And in your video report for the first day of the legislature, you really did a fantastic job of outlining the dueling agendas, or should we say the messed up priorities by one side of the aisle. Can you kind of recap what your overview of that legislative session looks like? And I think people will sense some comparisons to Wisconsin.
Yeah, something tells me there's going to be a lot of comparisons, a lot of similarities. So our legislative session kicked off this week. The Republicans control both chambers of our legislature, our Senate and our House. So they had a series of press conferences outlining their priorities. The Democrats also had a series of press conferences outlining their priorities, which at face value sounded like the same thing. So it sounds, you would think, oh, great. You know, they all want to focus on education and affordability and in immigration. That's great. They can get along, get a lot done. But that's not the case at all. The Republicans, when they were talking about education, they were mainly talking about protecting school vouchers, which is our system. Your viewers and listeners may be familiar. Our school voucher system essentially lets anyone who wants to take public tax dollars that are supposed to go to public schools and use them for private school or for homeschool or for any number of things. They kind of give blanket permission for people to use this money however they want. People have bought grand pianos for their house. People have taken their kids on ski trips. People have bought tens of thousands of dollars in Lego sets. So the Republican Party here, they want to make sure that that stays the same. They don't want any transparency or oversight into that program. Democrats,
that's,
on the other hand.
That strikes me as so odd because they're the ones who are already talking fiscal responsibility and waste, fraud, and abuse and everything like that. And I have a sense that despite everything you just said, if a report came out that a public school had bought the wrong number of paper clips, there would be a full state audit.
Oh yeah. There have been audits on much smaller things because our public school system is public. It's transparent. It's owned by the people and its decisions have to be approved by its board and voters by extension. Whereas these private purchases, anyone can use them for whatever they want. And we have seen hundreds of thousands of dollars of fraud just in the past year. But that's not the kind of oversight they're looking for.
No. And let me add as well that we'll be talking about this next week on the program about vouchers. And again, Wisconsin creeping closer to that blank check mentality that you have there. And we've actually found from going back 10 years, a Republican legislator who was retiring at the time, and in his kind of his farewell, you know, newspaper column said, you know, I love voucher schools the way it is now, but we have to be careful that it could creep. And if it creeps and creeps, it's going to suck up all of our money. And I feel like he was actually telling Arizona's fortune a decade ago. So, you know, there are warnings that even for voucher supporters, you can have too much of a good thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like we should be foreshadowing for a lot of states. I know a few different states like Kentucky rejected vouchers on the ballot this past year because they're seeing what's happening to our school system, unfortunately, yeah, for
makes,
us.
makes perfect sense. And yet, Kia, next week, you know, Donald Trump's going to be sworn in, and there's certainly a chance that by the time we're talking a week from now, it will feature some kind of formal proposal to abolish the Department of Education, among other things. So, are you girded for a pretty busy week next week?
Yeah, I mean, as much as it can be when, you know, you're going to be covering someone who is notoriously unpredictable. But yeah, I mean, he's going to propose a bunch of stuff, do a bunch of stuff. I don't think he's going to be able to abolish the Department of Education. That's not as simple as just, you know, waving a wand and making it happen. But we know what they want to do with education. They want to voucherize everything. They want to funnel money to, you know, private religious schools or families to homeschool their kids. They really are hell-bent on trying to eliminate what they consider wokeness from schools and universities. And, you know, we're already seeing preemptively, obviously, a lot of outside the education system, a lot of companies, you know, do away with these things that were, you know, always probably cynical efforts, you know, in terms of like establishing DEI departments. They're getting rid of them immediately because Trump's coming back. And, you know, whether those were ever successful or not remains, I don't know. But, you know, hopefully public schools are able to stay public schools and not be voucherized and not be targeted. You know, teachers do their best in a very messed up system right now. And to further degrade that would be a disservice to most people.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Cam, you got into education before I interrupted you, and other differences between the parties and as your legislature gets going?
Yeah. So, and just to cap that off, when the Democrats here are talking about education, they want to fund it more fully. They want to provide teacher raise their pay and actually get school classroom sizes to what they should be, because right now they're, you know, 30 plus, which that's a lot of fifth graders.
Yeah, it is.
They're also both parties are talking about affordability. It's, you know, housing here has become incredibly expensive. You know, Democrats, they want to provide more options for accountability. Again, there have been some rental monopolies created out here where essentially a bunch of rental corporations comprising, you know, 500,000 rental households, they basically raise their rent together using algorithms so that they can raise it as high as they want, and there's no competition. Our attorney general is investigating that right now. Republicans think that is somehow they think that's hampering the free market, and they want to stop that investigation.
I guess in closing, do you see anything on the Republican side that, if it passes, actually addresses affordability for typical working families in your state?
There is a little silver line, a little bright light at the end of the tunnel, is we do have some very savvy Democratic lawmakers whose main priority is housing. We have Senator Annalise Ortiz, who was able to work with Republicans to pass some housing legislation last session, where it allows people to, it's called like casitas, where they people are now allowed to rent out like an extended garage or something for people, as long as it's up to code. And so cities can't preempt that. That's something Republicans weren't in favor of initially, but she was able to win them over on. She's created a housing affordability caucus that hopefully we'll be able to get some more compromises like that through.
But see, now that's how these things are going to happen. They're going to happen through, you know, individual relationships and conversations across the aisle. And let's hope we see more of that in Madison as well. Thanks for telling us all about that. Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona. Kia Vakil, senior political correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Kia, again, we wish you all the best and glad you're safe. Take care out there.
Thank you.
And
if you need a place to stay, it's always open.
Oh, we've all volunteered to come down there. I mean, let's have the Courier retreat already in Arizona. Let's get this over. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. And then we'll reciprocate and we'll do a summer retreat up here on Lake Wissota on the pontoon.
I'll take it.
When we come back, we'll have today's history lesson. This is Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah, do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Today's history lesson includes a Friday morning dance party. It's at this point that the listeners are saying, Pat, Greg, can you all go out to breakfast and just keep the record going, please?
Happily. Bye.
I know. Wish we could. That's not in our rule book here. This was the new number one song 10 years ago today.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
By Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. And the song, you know, makes me happy for, you know, well, makes everybody happy. It's just such a good little tune. It was also played at one of my daughter's wedding receptions. And one of our newest little grandkids was like 18 months old at the time. Mm-hmm. And dancing to this thing in his pajamas, he wouldn't go to sleep because there's a party going on.
Yeah.
You know? So we've got this wonderful video of this little kid just dancing to Uptown Funk in his pajamas. Loved it. Let's see, on the history calendar today, this is Al Capone's birthday, born this day in 1899. Coincidentally, Prohibition began in the United States on this day in 1920, which was Al Capone's 21st birthday. Interestingly enough, he would have been legal to have alcohol, and then it wasn't there. I think I see what made him angry and choose a life of crime. And as we mentioned Popeye before, he first appeared in a comic strip on this day in 1929. Let's do some birthdays. Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles is 66 today. This is Walking Down Your Street, one of my favorite Bangle songs. Susanna Hoffs was born in L.A. She formed the Bangles after answering an ad placed by two sisters, Debbie and Vicki Peterson. This is the birthday of Benjamin Franklin and also of Betty White, two American legends. I take that back, three American legends. James Earl Jones was born this day in 1931, passed away back in September at the age of 93. Singer Paul Young is 69 today.
Oh, yeah. This gives you 80s smooth gold.
Oh,
feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Steve Harvey is 68 today. Jim Carrey is 63. And Michelle Obama, 61 years old today. On this day in 1976, the number one song was by Barry Manilow. Yes.
For such a wonderful song, it is incredibly cocky.
It is. And here's the funny thing. I mean, it was a number one song, and it describes Barry Manilow, a guy who wrote a ton of songs.
Yeah.
He did not write this one. He did not write the one that makes him sound all cocky. It was actually written by Bruce Johnson of the Beach Boys.
Wow.
And it would go on to win the Grammy for Song of the Year. Zooey Deschanel, actress from I know her best from Elf. What was her TV show? New Girl.
New Girl. Oh, so good.
Oh, God. See, I hate that. I never watched it, and everybody said it was good, and I just never got around to
it. You should watch it now. I don't know if you know about. Okay, Pat, I'm going to tell you about something really cool. It's a very, very cool invention. Very, very new, very modern.
Tell me.
It's called streaming services.
Get out.
There are only we grew up with like 3 channels, 10 channels. There are 425 streaming services.
I know.
You can find New Girl on 20 of them.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about Zooey Deschanel's birthday that kind of hit, and a lot of these birthdays hit. It's like she's 45 years old today.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, is she playing that role in Elf as a 30-something? And I look, I'm like, no, Elf was from 2003.
No.
That was now half her life ago.
Yeah.
when it came out. And she's just charming and delightful, which takes us to somebody who is neither. Kid Rock is 54 years old today. Kid Rock sounds, I guess, a little better in the music business than Robert Ritchie, who was born in Romeo, Michigan, this day in 1971.
Can I say something about this song, Pat?
Yes, please.
God, it sucks.
Oh.
The lyrics are terrible. A lot of those things don't rhyme.
They don't. Nope.
And he tries to pass them out. Like when we were younger, he passed himself off as a rough kid from the hood as a rapper. And then he was like, I'm a country boy. Dude, he grew up in the suburbs. His dad owned car dealerships. He's rich. I mean, blah. And he's just not a nice person.
And of course, it's a riff on Sweet Home Alabama, but you're also getting a lot of Werewolves of London, in there, which makes me wonder: was Sweet Home Alabama? Were they thinking of Werewolves of London, or is that just a nice little musical coincidence?
I think it's what the kids call a mashup, Pat.
A mashup. Okay, I like that. On this day in 2013, former cyclist Lance Armstrong finally fessed up to years of covert doping in an interview with Oprah Winfrey, where people were like, oh, I knew it. Like,
well, he also, I mean, the lengths to which he took to hide it were like Bond villain-esque, like the way they were. I mean, it was when I saw the process, I'm like, that's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work to win a bike race.
But it led to fame and fortune and everything. And, you know, unfortunately, one of my favorite movies still, comedy movies, is Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, the Lance Armstrong bit in the airport lounge,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it really hit. Like, you know, I beat testicular cancer and I did all these things. And now you kind of look at it and go, you fraud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do I still watch the movie? Of course I do.
Of course you do. He's in it for what? A minute and a half, please?
Yeah. You got to buy into the premise, you know? The Gulf War, Operation Desert Storm, began this day in 1991. I remember watching that live on the news, on network news. Again, we're still talking like 3 channels there. And like, there's this war launching right there on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting era that we lived in.
Yep.
Coming up in our next hour, we're going to hear about the People's March, something happening all around the country. And we're going to talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, and Mike Clemens about Bob Uecker. All ahead on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matt Nair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. the scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's security cabinet is meeting right now to vote on this week's ceasefire and hostage release agreement with Hamas. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Tel Aviv.
They would be released on a weekly basis. The first releases would come on Sunday when the ceasefire deal comes into place, with three Israeli hostages released. In exchange for them, hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, possibly as many as 1,000, would be released from Israeli jails.
As per terms of the deal, two Americans would be among the first round of hostages released beginning Sunday. The Supreme Court could rule today on whether a ban on TikTok can begin Sunday if its Chinese owner doesn't sell the app. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey's among senators against a ban. He says it serves important purposes.
TikTok provides vital community support and creates a space to share their stories, especially